Blog Talk Radio.
Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon-coming King, we beseech you, Father, to please give ear to our prayer. Abba, we thank you for the blessing that you have bestowed upon us and allowing us to fellowship during this year's men's retreat. We ask you, Abba, to forgive us for our sins by the blood of Yahushua of our iniquity. Abba, we pray for strength by your Spirit, that we may all continue in your word, doing what is pleasing in your sight. Abba, we humbly and we sincerely ask all these things in the name of your Son, Yahushua. We pray that you protect our families, Abba, as we are apart, we are away. Continue to lead and guide your people, Israel, on the narrow and the straight path of righteousness leading to your salvation. Yahushua's holy and his most precious name, we give glory and honor to you. To you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and has gave us his Torah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, giver of the Torah. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Shalom, 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 everybody. For those who are on the line, please send me a text. Prayerfully, we'll be able to come. We're going to be able to come through. We've been having some difficulty with reception in this area. Not sure why, but we're going to attempt to bring forth the word to you today, nevertheless. So if you're listening, shoot me a text to let me know whether or not I'm coming through clear. And if by chance anything should happen, Torah Rabbah Aki. If by chance anything should happen and I get cut off, please notify me immediately so we can reconnect you. All right? This is Tehillah Torah, and we are currently in the topic, the truth, before we get started. Yahushua as your Savior and your Redeemer. Have you accepted Yahushua as your Savior and your Redeemer? Do it all by a Hoki. Hallelujah. Now, in our first segment, let's do a brief recap. What we want to do, we want to at least establish that there are two families that are growing in the earth, right? When you think about Adam and Hawa and how they fell, what we come to learn is that they and their offspring became subservient to that old serpent, okay? And what we also learned, and we discussed briefly yesterday, Yahweh at that time began to adopt his family throughout the history, okay? Now, hallelujah. There's a couple of passages that I wanted to read in regards to this. And I also want to remind everybody, if you were working on that list that we talked about, the seed of the serpent versus the seed of our, okay. And the sheep, we're going to start at chapter 25 and verse 20. Nations are in your womb, and two manner of people. And the elder shall serve the younger. When we think about the elder, we talked about in the first segment, the first city, Cain or Cain, it was a name after his firstborn, which contrasted that, or rather compared that to the first kingdom, which was established by Nimrod. Okay? So first city and a first kingdom, anything that would follow would be the younger. So when you think about the elder and the younger, the younger city or the younger kingdom would be that which would be established by Yahushua. Okay? So the young points to Israel, those who are of being. I don't want to just his family. And throughout the Torah, what we find is that Yahweh, he uses a variety of analogies to reveal this to each and every one of us. Okay? So another passage we want to look at as we continue with to today's lesson in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, which reads, and Yahushua came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given to me in the heavens and in the earth. All right? Now, when Abba initially gave me this word, and I believe I said, I was under the impression that people would think that we were going to try to tear down their religion, which initially was a little off-putting to me because you don't want to come across negative to people. But and then it should move to Exodus chapter 23 and verse 24. And he says, you shall not practices, but you, I am breaking up. Okay, I'm breaking up. Is it better now? If you I mean, now I may have to just stand, find a place where I got good reception. Don't move around. Go upstairs. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Let me change my position. Give me a moment. And I apologize for this delay because, like I said earlier, there's a lot of bad reception out here. I don't I don't know why, so I'm going to change. I'm going to switch it up. I was hoping I would be able to have some in the audience, but it is what it is. Okay, can you hear me now? If you can hear me now, shoot me a text. Let me know whether or not I'm breaking up. Okay. Okay. So I'm just going to park it right here. All right, hallelujah. Okay, so point being, again, getting back, we were looking at Exodus chapter 23, verse 24. Let me read it for you once more. You shall not bow down to their mighty ones, nor serve them, nor follow their practices, but you shall overthrow them. Anything that stands and hindrance to our salvation should be overthrown and demolished according to the Torah. What has to do with what we're talking about today? What the masses have to realize is this. What we read in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. He says, all power is given unto me in the heavens and in the earth, right? That power that the Messiah has just taken, he has taken that power from the devil, from the adversary, okay? No, I'm not gone. I just stopped talking. I was pulling my phone out. Now, am I breaking up for everybody? Am I breaking up for everybody? Okay. I'm still breaking. Yeah. So can you hear me now? Okay. All right. Okay. Don't have a problem. My apologies, family. Like I said, I don't understand what's going on in this house, but it's just a lot of bad reception here. So I'm just going to have to stay in this one spot and hope that everything continues to come through. This is interesting. All right. Hallelujah. All right. Again, the point being made is this. When Yahushua said, all power in the heavens and the earth belong to me, right? The power that the devil and Satan held over the world was defeated. This is a reality that we have to keep in mind as we discuss our topic today. Now, we want to compare this to something else that we learned in John chapter 8, verse 36, which reads, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, the adversary, he under combat the power that Yahushua acquired by his sacrifice, HaSatan was transformed into an angel of light. Now, what does that mean? We understand what an angel is. An angel certainly is a messenger. And what that light is, it symbolizes the word. So in essence, what that teaches us is that the adversary was going to put on the costume, if you will. He was now going to masquerade as a messenger of the Most High. And what we're going to find out is that he too is going to use the Torah that was given to Israel, but he's going to use the Torah or the Bible to deceive the world. And this is how Christianity came to be. Okay? So, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to start at verse 1. Which reads, now, what we're about to read, I'm going to let you know where you can put it. These different details We want to put in the column of the seed of Elohim. Okay? I, therefore, the prisoner of Adonai, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, right there in that column. It's important that we understand that. There is one body, okay? Goes on to say, and one Spirit. There's one body, there's one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Adonai. We'll put that down there. One Master. One faith. You can put that down in that column. One baptism. One mighty one and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So what we're seeing here is the importance and the significance of that oneness. Okay? Now, Moshe said it like this. If you turn to Bamidbar, which is Numbers chapter 15, and we're going to look at verses 15 and 16. And right now, we're still laying the foundation before we get into call the meat of the lesson. In Numbers chapter 15, verse 15, it says, one ordinance for you of the congregation and also for the stranger that sojourns with you. An ordinance forever in your generations. As you are, so shall the stranger be before Yahweh. Torah and one mishpat, in other words, one law, one judgment, shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourns with you. So what we're seeing now, unity when it comes to the seed of Elohim is indispensable, which is one of the reasons why we recite the Shema. Okay? Truth is also indispensable. And when we think about truth, the dictionary defines it as the conformity to fact or actuality. But what did Yahushua define truth as? If you look in John chapter 17 and verse 17, he said, your word is truth. How many of us, when it comes to defining what truth is, we define truth as being the word of the Most High, which is something else that we have to keep in the forefront of our minds. Abba's word is the truth. So the question then, again, what is the problem with Christianity? Then when you get into it, Christianity actually promotes denominationalism, okay? And it serves the purpose of dividing people in their belief of Holy Scripture, contrary to what many people believe about that religion. This is what we have to keep in mind. Christianity is one of the catalysts adversary uses to further his agenda. And what is his agenda? Deception of the world. And as we go through, what we're going to see is that Christianity will be shown to be a combination of heathen traditions and beliefs. Once again, contrary to Holy Scripture, but what the adversary was able to do, he was able to camouflage these false belief systems by Holy Scripture. Okay? Keep these things in mind. So one of the first points we want to get into before we go any further regarding the problems within Christianity and why it's a false religion, we want to establish some foundational truths that the Torah teaches. And the first foundational truth, there is one true power. There's one true mighty one. Okay? In this second segment, it has been subtitled, He'akov Lemishur. He'akov Lemishur. And that means and the crooked shall be made straight. Because things need to be clarified regarding what the Torah teaches about Elohim and what the Torah teaches about the framework of the Godhead. So, how does the one true power function in the world? That's what we want to look at today, right? So let's turn to Bereshit, chapter 1, verse 1, Genesis 1:1, which reads, "In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth." Okay, which we all know this. I mean, this is foundational truth, basic beliefs, right? In 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 26, it says, "For all the gods of the people are idols, but Yahweh made the heavens." Okay? But Yahweh made the heavens. Again, substantiating what we just read in Genesis 1:1, right? Now, Psalms chapter 33. And if by any chance you can't hear me or I'm breaking up again, please let me know right away so I can try to get into a better position. Hopefully everything's good right here. Feels a little awkward that I'm standing in this one place, though, because I'm so accustomed to moving around when I'm talking. But anyway, I will be done. All right. In Psalms chapter 33 and verse 6. Now, this is part of Christianity's doing what we're about to get into. It says, and I'm going to read this in the English. I'm going to read this in the English, in the King James Version. It says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." Now, how we had been taught this, the word of the Lord, we were taught that the Lord is the Father and the word of the Lord is the Messiah. But that's not the case. And this is part of the damage that Christianity has done when it comes to understanding the Godhead and the framework by which Elohim functions. Okay? Now, what we have to go back to is taking this word as what it is at face value. When it says by the word of, and I'm going to put the correct name in, "By the word of Yahweh were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." It literally means what it says here. Okay? So when you go back to Genesis, and the scripture says that Elohim said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So now when we go down to verse 9, Psalms chapter 33 and verse 9, listen to what it says. "For he spake." Who spake? Yahweh spake, and it existed. When it says he commanded, Yahweh commanded, and it stood fast. So it's important that we recognize this, because when we look at what Christianity has done, Christianity has us believe that when we see the term Lord God, whether that Lord God is Yahweh Elohim or Adonai Yahweh, it had us believing that Yahweh is the Father. And that's not the truth about it. And we're going to see, we're going to allow the word to teach us, and we're going to take the word, first step, remember this, believing and taking the word as faith, as what it says at face value. Okay? And this is what we need to do. So when it says, "For he spake and it existed, he commanded and it stood fast," it's talking about by the word of Yahweh. Yahweh actually spoke, and by the breath of his mouth. Okay? He says, let's go to Psalms chapter 102 and verse 25. Same thought. It says, "Of old have you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hand." Again, what we're doing simply is establishing by the word, as the scriptures teach, by two or three shall a matter be established. So we are establishing by the word that Yahweh is the creator of everything that exists. Nehemiah, which is Nehemiah chapter 9, starting at verse 5, it says, "Then the Leoim, Yahushua, Kamiel, Bani, Hashabneah, Sherebiah, Hodiah, Shebaniah, Petachiah, said, rise. Bless Yahweh Elohecha forever and ever, and let them bless your esteemed name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Verse 6, you are Yahweh alone. You have made the heavens of the heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all that are on it, the seas and all that are in them. And you give life to them all, and the hosts of the heavens are bowing themselves to you. Once again, these passages simply testify to Yahweh being the almighty creator of all that exists. Question is, do we believe that? And when we move to the New Testament teaches the exact same thing. But what the New Testament does, it gives us a major revelation about Yahweh Elohim. Okay? So let's go to John chapter 1, which is one of the reasons why Yohanan started his history of the life of the Messiah the way that he started it. He wanted to call back to mind Bereshit. So in his writing, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. The same was in the beginning with Elohim. All things were made by him. Now, when John writes that, he says all things were made by him. Who is the creator that we just learned about? Adonai, Yahweh, Elohim. That is the creator that the Old Testament talks about from Genesis to Malachi. That is the creator. When we get to the New Testament, now we're given this major revelation that the creator that we learned about in the Old Testament is, in fact, the Word. When you look at, again, Lord God, Christianity is teaching that Lord God is the Father. Lord God is not the Father. And I'm going to keep emphasizing that as we go through the lesson, because we are going to, once again, allow the Word itself to teach us. And some of what we're going to talk about this, the truth about Christianity, we have to be brought to the realization of the damage that was done in understanding the simplicity of the Word. If we just accept what it says, okay? Now, again, he says, verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Once again, we're learning that Yahweh is the Word. And when we understand what the Word is the creative force of Abba Yah, okay? It's the creative force that is used to bring all creation into existence. And when we understand what the name Yahweh actually means, when we define it, it means Yah exists. In other words, everything that we see the Word Yahweh doing in the Old Testament was a testimony that Yah exists. Okay? We have to keep this at the forefront of our minds. Now, when we drop down, we're going back to John. We're dropping down to verse 14. This very same Word, this creative force that created all things. Listen to what it says. And the Word was made flesh. This is what causes much difficulty for many believers. This very same creative force that brought forth everything that we see, it became flesh. And when we think about the greatness of Yahweh Elohim, where the difficulty comes, how can Yahweh, who is so great, be confined to this flesh? But see, that's what we have to allow, again, Abba to open our minds up so that we can see the beauty in everything that we're being taught by his word. A question was asked Yahweh at the time when he was visiting Abraham. And the question was this: is anything too hard for Yahweh? And we, as Bible students, Bible believers, we have to ask that question. Why was that asked? You know, we had a discussion yesterday about the importance of approaching the word of the Most High and asking the right questions, as we've been taught. So why did he say or present that to Abraham? Is anything too hard for Yahweh? And then the answer is actually given in Yirmiyah. And simply put, no, nothing is too hard for Yahweh. So it's not impossible for the Most High, in spite of how great he is, to prepare, and we were talking about this a little earlier, hallelujah, to prepare a body that was fit for the king. You understand? But let's keep moving. Listen to what it says, John chapter 1, verse 14. It says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I want everybody to consider this question. What is meant by only begotten? And think about that, because we're going to come back to that question later on. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And hold on to that. So let's keep moving. Let's go to something that Brother Shaul wrote now. Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. And look at the understanding now that's being given to the apostles once they receive his Holy Spirit. In Colossians 1, verse 15, it says, who is the image of the invisible mighty one? See, this is where we got to stop. And this is where we have to ask the question. Because in the Old Testament, how many times do we see where Yahweh appeared before somebody? How can Yahweh be the invisible mighty one when he has appeared to Abraham? He appeared to Yaakov. He appeared Moshe, etc., just to name a few. How can he be considered the invisible mighty one? Keep these things in mind. But what he's saying here, again, who is the image? He's talking about the Messiah, Yahushua, who is the image of the invisible mighty one. And listen to this right here. The firstborn of every creature. Hold on to that. If you can just put a little mark on your paperwork, only begotten, firstborn of every creature. Put that under Messiah, because this is who's being described. The Word, that under Messiah. Because we're going to come back and Albert's going to tie all this together for us. Verse 16, for by him, listen to what he's saying, and he's substantiating what we read in John. For by him were all things created. He's talking about the Messiah now. That are in the heavens and that are in the earth, visible and invisible. In other words, he created the things that you can see. He created things that you can't see. Yahushua did that. He said, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And when it says for him, what we as Bible students, Bible believers, what we have to understand, it is for his purpose. Think about everything that we're learning about in the whole scheme that the Most High has laid out, the whole plan of salvation, orchestrated by the word of the Most High, by Yahweh Elohim, and it's created for a specific purpose. When it says created for him, it's not said created for him just so he can enjoy it. No, it's created for his purpose, because there's a work being done, and he's carrying out this work for a reason. Let's keep moving before I go off on that tangent. He says, verse 17, listen to this, And he is before all things. Listen to that. And by him all things consist. Now, my brothers, see, that's why I wanted to be around y'all. So we had these discussions we was having, and that's why I say what Abba does over and over, he confirms in the direction that you're being led. You know, listen to what it says in verse 18. And he is the head of the body. Now, for my brothers here at the retreat, think about everything we discussed in regard to Yaakov and that pillow. And everything that came out, you see, substantiating that. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. Put that down. Albert's going to tie all this together for us. Why is he called the beginning? What do you mean the beginning? And the fact that when you think about the Most High, one of the thoughts about the Most High is that the Most High was always in existence. The Most High always existed. So what is this when it says, who is the beginning? What does that mean, the beginning? But hold on to that thought. I was going to show. He says, the firstborn from the dead. We just talked about that, which is why he's considered the first fruit. He might have the preeminence. Now, and here's a question, something else to ponder on. What are we being taught about Yahushua? What is he teaching us? And the most important question, do we believe it? Do we believe what's being taught about? Okay. Let's go to Ephesians now, chapter 3. Starting at verse 1. He says, it's Brother Paul again, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Yahushua, HaMashiach, for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of Elohim, which is given me towards you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Mashiach, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, heirs and of the same body. In other words, going right back to that one body, right? And partakers of his promise in Mashiach by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of Elohim given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Mashiach, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Listen to this. He's talking about a mystery in connection to Messiah. What is it? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in Elohim, who created all things by Yahushua HaMashiach. See, what we're being taught, family, we're being taught about the Godhead. We're being taught about the framework of Elohim and how it works, how it functions. And what we're also being taught, there is an orderly structure. And atop that orderly structure, what we've been shown is that we have a heavenly Yah. But when we look at that name Yah, the name Yah is mentioned sparingly in the Old Testament, which we discussed before. And I believe if you go back and listen to Understanding Heavenly Beings or something like that, one of the broadcasts we did a while ago, And this was one of the topics, understanding how Elohim functions, you know. But let's look at two passages in Psalms, Tehillim, chapter 68 and verse 4. It says, sing unto Elohim, sing praises to his name, extol him that rise upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. Right? And then if you go down to verse 18, Psalm 68, it says, you have ascended on high, you have led captivity captive, you have received gifts for men. Now this we know is in context to something related to Mashiach, because this passage is quoted in the New Testament. But listen to what it says. I'm going to start over. Psalm 68, 18. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts for men, for the rebellious also, that Yah Elohim might dwell among them. And it's important that we know this. Why? Because when it says that everything was created by him and for him, and with the explanation of for him being for his purpose, everything that the word has been doing is to prepare this world system that Yah Elohim might dwell among us. Everything that we learn from Genesis to Revelation with the plan of salvation, it is being done so that Yah Elohim can dwell among us. And hopefully everybody's getting that. Hopefully everybody's seeing that. Yahushua has a work. Yahweh has a work. And it's for his Father. Okay? Now when we Yah Elohim or Yah the Most High Power, our Heavenly Father. In the beginning, now let's go back. We're going to substantiate this once again by the word. Yah created the word, which is the spokesperson to act in his stead on his behalf. The word which Yah created was called first Yahweh and is referred to as both Elohim and Adonai throughout the Tanakh or the Old Testament. Now, listen to what Yahweh says about himself. And I want to emphasize, listen to what Yahweh says about himself. And this is through the prophet Yeshayahu or Isaiah. So let's turn now to Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 10. And we've all been through this passage several times. Shema Israel. Pay attention to who's talking. Pay attention to what's being said. Okay? And my brother. That's why I wanted to be in your faith and see. But anyway, Isaiah 43:10. You are my witnesses. Remember what we talked about as far as the witnesses, how that witness ties into the knowledge and the experience and vice versa. Okay? You are my witnesses, says Yahweh. So right there we know that it is Yahweh speaking, right? And my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Listen to this. Before me, there was no Elohim formed. Let that marinate for a minute. And while you're letting that marinate, let's go back up for a second. When it says, in a moment, I'm going to find that passage that we just looked at in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Colossians 1, 18, when it says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. The beginning of what? So now, going back down to Isaiah 43:10, let's put it together. Allow that word, and all we simply doing, fam, accepting the word for what it says. He says, before me, and this is Yahweh speaking, before me there was no Elohim form, neither shall there be after me. So what we see here, Yahweh is acknowledging that he was formed, implying that he was, if you look up the word for squeezed into shape, he was molded into form. Look the word up. And this is if we simply take the passage at face value. Okay? And compare it with the other evidence to support that claim. Okay? Now, a passage that the brothers and I, we looked at yesterday, we're going to look at it again. He says, this is Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Okay? And he says, and of the Malachim, he says, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers the flame of fire. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O Elohim, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, Elohim, your mighty one has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. So what we see in here, he's using this passage from the Psalms. He's relating it to the Messiah, and he's referring to the Messiah as being mighty one. Therefore, mighty one, your mighty one. This is in the Psalms. It's always been there. But until the Creator opens our eyes to see it and understand it, we don't get it. He has to give us that understanding. So what he's doing again, he's making that comparison, right? So let's substantiate this by something y'all sure said. In John chapter 8, verse 42, Yahushua said unto them, Elohim were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from Elohim. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. What does that teach us? That teaches us there was a point where he wasn't in existence in that as a separate entity. And we learn that from John, first chapter, when it says, in the beginning was the Word. This is what we have to understand. Our Heavenly Father existed. And this is a difficult concept to grasp because we're physical. We live in a physical world. And we are accustomed to seeing things that's born and things die. We are accustomed to seeing things come into existence and then leave that existence. Okay? In the beginning was the Word. Where was the Word in the beginning? It was in the mind of the Most High. And then it says, and the Word was with Elohim. That means that at some point, the Word had to be brought forth, just like we're learning here. For I proceeded forth and came from Elohim. In other words, he's the first mighty one that was formed and the last. We're going to see what the scriptures teach about that. But it's just a matter of accepting it, what it says at face value, and having that belief, okay? He says in John still, chapter 16, going down to verse 27, and it's the same thought. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me. And listen to what he's saying. And have believed that I came out from Elohim and am coming to the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father, okay? So he's clearly showing that there was a point that he came into existence. When he says he came from the Father, what he's testifying to, he came into existence. This is the same thought that Isaiah is bringing out in 43:10. There was no mighty one formed before me, neither will there be after me. So let's go back to Isaiah. This time we're going to Isaiah chapter 41 and picking up in verse 1. He says, keep silence before me, O Isles, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who has wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? Who did that? Listen to what he said. Now, if you go to the Hebrew, and it's very important, you go to look at this in the Hebrew. First thing he says, Ani Yahweh. First thing he says. But then he says this. Vishon Kanim. Now, then he says, the last thing he says is, I need who? So roughly translated, when he says, I need Yahweh, I is Yahweh. This is what he's saying. And we already know and we understand that it's Yahweh speaking, right? But when he said, Rashun wa et akalmin, but they translated it as, and this is wrong, the first and with the last. That's wrong. It shouldn't say the first and with the last, because what we understand is this, and we talked about this. We just talked about this. When you get to that Aleph translated, now sometimes the Aleph talk, it appears by itself. If it's connected in the, like in the used in the, like a conjunction, the reason why is because he's got this the conjunction for the first word, and then he got it here for the last word. But in this sense, here's the question we got to ask. Now, the translation, and with the last is incorrect. It should say, let me read the way it should be read. I am Yahweh. First and last, I am he. That's what it's saying. Okay? I am Yahweh. First and last, I am he. Now, here's the question we have to ask. Why is the et connected to the last word? And that last word, he's putting emphasis on being the last. Why is he putting emphasis on being the last? Remember what he said. There was no mighty one formed before me, neither will there be one formed after me. So when he says, I am Yahweh, the first, the last, I am he, he said, that's it. In other words, I am the only entity that the Father created. The Father has not created any other entity. He created me. So let's substantiate that. Let's go to Revelation. Because now we got to ask the question, why Yahushua said these things? He ain't saying nothing new. He ain't saying nothing different than what he said in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament. So Revelation 1:8, listen to what he said. I am Aleph and Tau. I'm that word. He said, the beginning and the ending. What you mean? And that's going back to Colossians 1:18, which says the beginning. He's the beginning of the Father's creation. That's why I said he's the firstborn of all creatures. He's the first entity that Abba Yah brought forth into existence. And he is the Word. He is Elohim. He is Adonai. His name was Yahweh. And that Word became flesh. Revelation 1:8. I am Aleph and Tau, the beginning and the ending, says Adonai, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. In other words, why did he use it in these three different time frames? What you mean, which was? Yahweh Elohim. And which is to come, because that's who we're waiting for. Okay? Keep all these things in mind. Let's drop down to verse 10. Revelation still, chapter 1. I was in the spirit on Adonai's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Aleph and Tau, the first and the last. That same thing that he said in Isaiah. I am Yahweh, first and last. I am he. Bible believers, that's supposed to be a cue. This is Yahweh Elohim talking. This is the word of Yah that became flesh and was called Yahushua in the flesh. And still, he's the messenger. When he was in the Old Testament, the message was, Yah exists. In the New Testament, Yah is salvation. And for a reason, which we're going to see. Again, saying, I am Aleph and Tau, the first and the last. And what you see right in the book is sending it to the seven assemblies, which are in Asia, and to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Diaspora, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Okay? Now, again, why does Yahushua refer to himself as the beginning and the ending, the first and the last? Go back to John chapter 1 now. This is what we got to understand. When people hear the idea, or hear the term, the only begotten son, they look at it in a sense that the Creator created a man through humanity, and he's the only begotten. That's not what it's talking about. It don't have nothing to do with that. Because if that's the case, when we look at Luke, and it's going through the genealogy, it gets to Adam, and it refers to Adam as the son of Elohim. So if you're basing it on that context, That would be incorrect based on what Holy Scripture teaches. But when you understand what he actually saying, he says this, John chapter 1, verse 18. No man has seen Elohim at any time. Okay? Now we know he's talking about the Father. He says, the only begotten Son in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Touch on that last part first. When it says he has declared him, only way you know that there even is a Heavenly Father, I'm the one that told you about him. Had I not told you about him, you would have no idea that there is a higher power than what you learned about in the Old Testament. I'm telling you this. I'm revealing this to you. You know why? I'm the only one that knows he up there as far as humanity goes. But when we look at the term only begotten, let's look at it in the Greek first. The word is monogenes. You find that in number 3439, right? And it's translated as only born. That is soul. It says John alone uses monogenes to describe the relation of Yahshua to Yah the Father, presenting him as the unique one, the only one, monos, that's a, because this word is a compound word, monogenes, the only one, monos, of a class or kind, genos. So monogenos or monogenes, the only one of a class or kind. Think about that. He's the only one of what class or what kind? He's the only, it was directly created by our Heavenly Father. That's it. The Father didn't make anything else. How do we know that? Because everything else that came into existence, it was the Word that brought it into existence. It was Yahweh Elohim that brought it into existence, not our Heavenly Father. Now, the term monogenes is related to the term yachid in Hebrew. Okay, now you find that word yachid in number 3173. And it's, and if you listen to, if you look at the term itself, it's spelled yod, chet, yod, dal. And when you break that down, we can see that there's a yod infix, right? United. And you also see when you break it down from the yod, chet, yod, dalet, and that's even saying something too, but we're not going to go off onto that right now. But when you break that down, you break it down to the parent root of the chet and the dalet, which is the same parent root for what word? Echad, which means one, unity. Same thought, right? So it says, properly united, that is soul. By implication, beloved, also lonely. Okay? And when you look at this, this term is the same one that's used in Genesis chapter 22, in verse 2, verse 12, verse 16, in reference to Yitzhak. Because Yitzhak is a symbol for Mashiach, only one, the only begotten of the Father. Okay? The Father in that sense was Abraham. So when he says the only begotten Son, which the bosom of the Father he has declared, is teaching us again, he had the, humanity had no knowledge of the Heavenly Father until Yahushua revealed him. And as Yahushua is the word of Yah, called Yahweh in the Old Testament. All right? Now, in John chapter 5, let's look at some other evidences. I've mentioned them, but we just want to see where it says these things in the scriptures. In John chapter 5, verse 36, it says, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, seen his shape. Now, the brothers and I, we talked about this yesterday, but for those who are listening now, what we have to understand, every time in the scripture, Yahweh spoken to this prophet or that prophet, the word of Yahweh came to this prophet or that prophet, as we've been reading. This is not the Father speaking. But according to Christianity, going back to the idea of Lord God, they have been teaching that Lord God is the Father. That's not true. Lord God was never intended to be looked at as the Almighty One. Was never intended to be. And this is what we have to understand. Okay. I don't want to lose my reception. But anyway, get the word of Yah. What we have to start doing, again, allow Allah to open our mind, we have to see a word that is in development. Now, we look at the Bible and we think like we have a finished product. I mean, no, we don't have a finished product. We have, and see, this is where we got to really allow Allah to help us to see and just accept the reality. If we believe that the word is alive, if we believe that the word is a living organism, living organisms continue to grow. Living organisms continue to develop. So when we look at the word, what we see, we're looking at past history of growth and development. This is a work that's even right now as we speak into one another, is still a work in progress. And when you look at religion, religion has been packaged. They have these regulations, they have these catechisms or these God books or whatever you want to call it, and they package it and they give it to somebody and they say, this is our religion. And that's it. But when it comes to the ways of the Most High, it's not prepackaged. It's continually moving. It's continually growing. It's continually spreading. Okay? And that's what we got to see. So when we look at the Old Testament, don't look at the Old Testament as being something separate. Look at it as that's a part of the Creator teaching us about who he was. Yahweh Elohim was who he was for that time. But at some point, he was going to make a transition. And he teaches that even when we look at the Hebrew language, we looked at before, you know. We look at the Hebrew language, and I'm just going to mention this, and I'm going to mention this, and I'm going to go back to, you know, the lesson. This is just a thought. Something that Abba helped me to see years ago, and I believe it was Rabbi who taught this. And Father, correct me if that is wrong. You have the Yod, you have the He, you have the Rav, you have the He. The Yod points to the Father, okay? But the next three letters point to the Word, okay? Because you have the Word in its original, or, you know, in its original position, its original state as Yahweh Elohim. Then you have the Word represented by the Wav, which became a man, symbolic of, you know, I mean, the Wav symbolic of the man, because when it's the, has the numeric value of 6, and man was created on the sixth day. And then you have that last hay, which is symbolic of that spirit now that we receive, okay, which we also understand comes from the Messiah. But now when you look at certain names, right, like we were talking about, there's one place in the Psalm where the name Joseph is written out in its full form, and it's spelled Yod-Heh-Vav-Seth, Yahu-Seth. But then what happens? The hay is dropped, and the Yod-Heh-Vav is abbreviated to Yod-Vav. Why? And that's not the only name. When you look at Yochabed, the original form or the full form of Yochabed or Yochabed is Yahuchabed. When you look at his name stayed the same. But when you find those names, that's Yoshaphat. Right, when you write it out, Yod Hey Rob, but then at some point you see it represented Yod Rob. What that's teaching us is that the Most High, the Word in that first estate was going to eventually change. It's going to be dropped, and it's going to become that Rob. Even in the Hebrew language and how the language itself was formulated, he's teaching us that at some point, Yahweh Elohim, as we know him, is going to cease to exist, and he's going to take on another formation. He's going to become a man. And that's just in the language. That's just by looking at the language. And a lot of people, they don't see that. They don't understand that because Allah didn't reveal that to them. Or if it was revealed to them, they rejected it. But that's how he's showing us these things. When the Creator tells us by two or three shall a matter be established, he meant that. So he's going to give us other evidences behind that, okay? He says, let's keep it moving. He says in John chapter 6 and verse 43, same thought, It says, Yahushua therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of Elohim. Every man therefore that heard and hath learned of the Father comes to me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of Elohim. He has seen the Father. So when you look at the different examples in the scriptures, like we talked about, where the Most High appeared to somebody, and using the King James language, when the Lord God appeared to these different people, they are not seeing the Father. They have always been seeing the Word. They have always been interacting with the Word. They have never interacted with the Father. This has always been the method, but something happened. Scripture says that that old serpent was going to transform himself into an angel of light. And what did he do? He confused the very same word that we believe. Now, when you look at Christianity today, Christianity is hailed and looked at as being an authority for understanding the Bible. But in actuality, they are not an authority. They have been leading the world astray with their misinterpretation, with their mistranslation, with their misunderstanding of what the Bible actually teaches. And this is important that we're going to see. Let's go to John chapter 8 now and pick up in verse 48. Let's read through a little bit. It says, then answered the Yahudim, say we not well that you are a Samaritan and have a devil? Yahushua answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeks and judges. Verily, verily, I say to you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Yahudim unto him, now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophet, and you say, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. I mean, listen to all of this. When the Messiah is speaking, indirectly, he's telling you who he is, indirectly. You have an ear to hear, like you said, he that has an ear, let him hear. Except you have an ear to hear, you're not going to get what he's saying. Verse 53 again. They say, are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who maketh you yourself? They hearing something. But they're not quite able to put their finger. They see that he's insinuating something. He's implying something. And it's like they're a little confused by that. Who in the world do you think you are? It's basically what they're saying. Verse 54, Yahushua answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say he's your mighty one. Yet, you have not known him. I know him. Listen to these things that he's saying. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. What is he talking about? How did Abraham see his day? That goes back to what we learned, how Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off, right? Remember that? He says, verse 57, then said the Yahudim unto him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Yahushua said unto them, verily, verily, I say to you, before Abraham was, listen to what he's saying. And when he said that, see, Bible believers, Bible students, our mind's supposed to go, right? Who said that? Who's speaking to Moshe? Who said, who said that? It was Yahweh Elohim that said that. But here's a little context clue for y'all. Before Abraham was, Think about that. He dropping these little breadcrumbs. They not picking up on it, though. Even his disciples didn't pick up on it, and they wouldn't pick up on it until after they received the Holy Spirit. then that Holy Spirit now begin to take them right back to that word. Just like you said, it's expedient that I go away. When I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, which will lead and guide you to all truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. So when we get Ruach HaKodesh, what the Ruach HaKodesh is going to do is going to take us right back to the word. It's going to that word. It's going to teach us that word and help us understand what that word means. And what is the Ruach HaKodesh? He said, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the Spirit of His Son. Same thing. Exact same thing. He says, verse 58 again, Yahushua said unto them, verily, verily, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. They got you saying, you what? They ready to take his life now. But Yahushua hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Okay? The reason they took up the stone, they heard, we got you. That's why they wanted to kill him. But and why did they want to kill him? They were not accepting it. You raising your hand, Aki?
Ask
the question. Answer the question.
They assumed he was blaspheming.
Exactly. They thought he was being blasphemous. Trying to say that he's making himself equal with the Creator. Not understanding, he's not attempting to make himself equal with the Creator. He's letting you know, I am the Creator. You know, when you understand that. Okay. Let's go to another path. Now we're going to touch on some other things. So let me, and now for those who are at home, of course, you won't be able to answer this right away. Well, then you can shoot me a text. How many people listening at this point, can y'all still hear me? I move over a little bit. How many people understand, how many people understand that Yahweh Elohim in the Old Testament is the very word that became flesh and was called Yahushua HaMashiach? Is there anybody on the line? If you have any discrepancy with that, shoot me a text to let me know. Because this is a very important point that we don't want to just move past. Shoot me a text. Let me know if you have a difficulty understanding or grasping that. And we can look at another piece of evidence if necessary. And if I don't get any text, then I'm going, hallelujah, understood. I hear you, my brother. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Now, move on. Because not only did Yahweh Elohim say that he was formed, there's something else that Yahweh Elohim said that he was as well. We want to look at that. Hallelujah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 43, and we're going to pick up in verse 11. So remember he said, and as a matter of fact, let's put all this together. And 11, we want to read them together. So he says this, you are my witnesses, says Yahweh, with my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no Elohim form, neither will there be after me. I myself am Yahweh, and besides me, there is no Savior. So now, not only is he telling us that he was formed, and that there's not going to be anything equivalent to him formed after his fashion, now I'm letting you know I'm going to be the one that's going to save you. He's telling us this. But see, the way that Christianity teaches it, they teach it in a form of fashion that the Lord God sent Jesus Christ. No, that's incorrect. Yahweh Elohim became Yahushua HaMashiach. And that's totally different. And it changes the idea that's being circulated by Christianity, which we're going to see. It changes that idea. Hallelujah. I see you, my little sister. I myself am Yahweh, and besides me, there is no Savior, right? So let's substantiate that. Go back up to verse 3. And he's saying this over and over. Isaiah 43:3. For I am Yahweh, your mighty one, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Mitzrayim for your ransom. Right? Cush and Sabah for thee. In Isaiah chapter 45, starting in verse 21. He says, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient times? Who has told it from that time? Has not I, Yahweh? And there is no mighty one else. There is no mighty one else beside me. A just Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am Elohim, and there is none else. He's let you, first of all, as far as creators, as far as power, as far as mighty ones, I am the only mighty one. And since I'm the only mighty one, I am your Savior. I'm the only one who can do this thing for you. He's telling us this thing. But nobody would ever think that he would leave his throne and come down and do that. But what did we learn a couple days ago, brothers? What we learned? Ain't that exactly what Moshe's story telling us? What we learned about the Nile River. How the Nile River flows. Go ahead, brother. You got to walk over here to me because I can't move. Come on now. Flows in a totally different direction than any other river in the world, right? Why is that?
The mountain with Victoria Lake, where
come on.
Gaza,
come on.
Higher elevated than
come on.
The lowland of Egypt.
Come on.
So that's what causes it to flow in the opposite direction of gravity.
So when you think about Mitzrayim, you got Upper Egypt, you got Lower Egypt. So it's flowing from the direction of Upper Egypt to Lower Egypt, right, which changes the direction. What is that teaching us? The upper, we already know that points to something that's higher up. And then you got that flow. We understand that water points to the spirit, right? And where did Moshe get pulled from? From that spirit, right?
Yes.
Drawn from the water. And we was able to substantiate that how? It's something that Dawid said when he said, from the heavens. You drew me from the water. Same thing. Two passages. So we got three witnesses to testify. When we look at what happened with Moshe, Moshe is simply saying to us, I am going to leave my heavenly abode. I'm going to come down through a stream by way of that spirit. I'm going to be poured forth, and I am going to be your representative who goes out and save you. I'm going to be a king. See, that's why they brought all those things to Yahushua. They understood a king was just born. That's why the wise men, they knew, they understood something in the celestial. See? I'm a priest. That's why he left the king's house and went to the priest's house. See, we were talking about that earlier today. And people, if we just look at it and be reasonable and be logical, if you're living in a Pharaoh's house, 9 times out of 10, you're going to see how a Pharaoh functions. You're going to learn some things about what it means to rule a nation. If you're living in a priest's house, logically speaking, you're going to see what it means to be a servant of the Most High and what it means to live holy. And on top of that, while he's in the priest's house, he's a shepherd. He's a shepherd. So he's learning how to shepherd the animals, but he was going to utilize those very same skills to shepherd the people. What else we talk about? Well, he was 40 years in Pharaoh's house, 40 years in Jethro's house. How old was he when he came out? What that teaches?
The pay.
What's the? Come on. The pay is the mouth. So now you're 80 years old. Now it's time for you to go out and become my spokesperson, become my mouthpiece. See? All these things I've been showing us in his word. But what it takes is for him by his spirit now. See? To open our understanding so that we can see the picture that has been painted the whole time, growth, development. See? He's the Savior, right? He says, let's go to Hosea, chapter 13, and verse 4, same thought. He says, yet I am Yahweh, your mighty one, from the land of Mitzrayim, and you shall know no mighty one but me. For there is no Savior beside me. So if Yahweh Elohim is the word of Yah, and the word of Yah became flesh. Fast forward now. Let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And what is it saying about Yahushua? Now, this is what we got to ask the question. Okay. How in the world does in one place it says that Yahweh, he's the Savior. You can't have no Savior besides him. But then we get to 2 Peter 3:18. It says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Master and Savior, Yahushua HaMashiach. Because to those who don't believe in the Bible, to those who don't understand the growth, the development, for those who don't understand the progress and the process by which the Most High revealed, they will look at that as contradicting. And then you go to the New Testament, and it says, Jesus Christ, he's the Savior. But what we got to understand that Yahweh Elohim, Yahushua HaMashiach, one in the same entity. All he was simply showing is what he's willing to do to save his people. See, that's the beauty of it. When you think about what Solomon said, neither the heavens of heavens can contain you. How can I make a house to contain you? If the heaven of heavens can't contain the Most High, how can a body contain him? So he had to prepare a body, right? See what we learned. Let's put all that stuff together. He had to prepare a body. So he sent forth something. He sent forth that seed. That seed that he implanted in Miriam. And that seed impregnated Miriam. And that body started to be formed by that very same seed. Because now, and when you think about the body being formed, don't just think about the body being formed in Miriam's womb. The body had to be formed and come forth, and then it had to grow and still develop. And don't lose sight during the time of, you know, his toddler years, teenager, adolescent years, then became a young adult, all the way up until he became 30 years old. And when he received that baptism, that immersion, now the body has been fully prepared to take on everything else that needs to be put on him. So what we learned, that the Holy Spirit did what? Come on now. Come on. And he already told us what the story of the dove was going to be in the story of Jonah. It's that Holy Spirit now that's going to be cast into that pit for 3 days and three nights. It's that Holy Spirit that after those 3 days and three nights that's going to come forth. See? All these little stories, and these are the things, brothers and sisters, that we've been talking about while we've been at the retreat. So it's been a good time. We've been eating a lot of good stuff. All of these things that he put in his word was to teach us. But what it takes now, it takes him by his spirit to start weaving. And brother, you listening? Start weaving and putting that garment together for us. See? Putting that tunic with the long sleeves together, so to speak. You know what I mean? Keep those things in mind now. Keep them things in mind. Okay? He says, so 2 Peter 3:18, but growing grace and in the knowledge of our Master and Savior, Yahushua HaMashiach, to him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So now when he says that, when it says the Father sent the Son, think about everything that the Word did. Not just limiting it to what he did in the New Testament, everything that the Word did. And that's why we have to really grasp and hold on to that reality in contrast to how Christianity has been teaching the Bible. Christianity will have you thinking that when it comes to Jesus Christ, there's a whole new set of rules that you have to follow. No, it ain't, because Mashiach Yahushua is the very same word that spoke to Israel from the top of Mount Sinai and gave the 10 words, which is the foundation for the remaining Torah. It's not something different. When he says, if you keep my commandments, he ain't talking about a new set of instructions that he gave. He's talking about the very same instruction that he spoke to Israel. He's talking about the very same instruction when he called Moshe up to the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. He's the one that told Moshe all of these different things that he needed to do to establish his way among Israel. It was Yahushua HaMashiach that did that. Why would he do away with it? Why would he do away with it? But see, if you teach it in the context of the Lord God said, and he's this vengeful mighty one who went to kill everybody, and now you got blonde-haired, blue-eyed hippie who comes down and teaching love, peace, and unity, and all you got to do is love one another and care for one another, and you don't have any other responsibility because that old vengeful God, all those commandments he gave, you ain't got to do that no more. You just got to keep these commandments to tell you to love your neighbor as yourself. That's a lie. That is not what the Bible teaches. That's why when you look at Christianity, it's the devil's religion, family. They can talk about all that love, that peace, and joy all they want. The adversary is said to do this. And we're going to get further into it as we go to a different lesson. To transform himself into an angel of light. People not getting that. And what he's doing, look, go back and listen to some. That's why I said, go back and listen to some of them lessons. We talked about love, the two types of love. There is a love in the world. Don't y'all know that there's a love in the world? There's a specific knowledge geared toward the world system. There's a specific type of wisdom that's geared toward the world system. There's a specific type of understanding that's geared toward the world system. All of these things exist separately and distinct from what the Most High is establishing with us. That's why we're talking about these two families. You can call it the seed of the serpent, the seed of Elohim. You can call it the empire, the great red serpent, and the kingdom of Israel. It don't make a difference. It's all one and the same. You've got two different groups of people that are being produced in this world. One is for the Creator. And everybody else is not. That's simple and plain. There's no gray area. There's no room for debate. You either accept the truth about it or you don't. It's just that simple. Okay? Like the brother said, can it be that simple? John 1:4-14 again. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Yahushua is the Son of Elohim, Elohim dwells in him, and he in Elohim. Listen to that. Now, we were just talking about the Spirit, right? Brother Baruch was dealing with that the other day. See, what's supposed to be happening with us now? And once we're able to accept that, listen to what he says. Whosoever shall confess that Yahushua is the Son of Elohim. And when it says that, it's not just saying, like people like to say, born through Miriam. What we are acknowledging is that Yahushua is the Word, the one entity, the one being that our Father Yah created. And when we can acknowledge that, he dwells in, it says, Elohim dwells in him, and he in Elohim. And when it's talking about God in this context, it's talking about our Heavenly Father, Yah. We are now becoming united. We're becoming one. Why is that significant? Isn't that what Yahushua prayed for in the garden? Father, make them one, even as me and you one, I and you, you and me, we and them. If this, we get to that, we're able to accomplish that unity, that oneness, when we accept who Yahushua really is. If we can't accept who Yahushua really is, the Messiah. See? If you don't acknowledge who the Messiah really is, you're the spirit of anti-Messiah. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 19. This is going to be our last passage, okay? Not our last passage. We're going to have another passage. But this one really should get y'all brothers thinking now. He said, I'm going to Revelation chapter 19 and starting at verse 11. Everybody still with me on the line? All right. Verse 11. And I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Why he dipped that long tunic in that blood? Come on now. He talked about you, sir. Why is it even worded that way? He clothed in that vesture that's dipped in blood, another urn that was given to Yusuf. That's me. Yusuf point to me. See that? And then it says this. He says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Oh, I'm sorry, fam, for those who are not here, the fellas, we were having a good time.
Yeah, we did.
We were having a good time talking about some good stuff, and they know what I'm talking about. But what we did, I'm not going to leave y'all in the dark like that. What we were doing, we were talking about the story of Joseph, you know. For those who may not be aware, the theme of this retreat is the knowledge of power. And what we were doing, we were looking at the Old Testament passages or Old Testament stories to teach and establish how Yahushua is the Messiah. One of those stories that we looked at was the story of Joseph. And in the story of Joseph, it said that his father made him a long-sleeved tunic. You know, and of course, Joseph's brothers, they were jealous of him. They envied him. They hated him. They wanted to kill him. But instead, they decided to put him in this pit, and they eventually sold him off into slavery. But before they put him in the pit, they took off this long tunic that his father made for him. And what they did with it, they took and they dipped it in the blood of an animal so that they can go take it to his father and tell him that he got mauled and eaten by some wild animal, you know. But as we have been discussing, that tunic, the simple fact that he was given that tunic was to show forth it was a symbol of glory to him because of how much his father loved him. And then when he goes through this process of becoming imprisoned and everything that takes place after that, eventually rising to the second in power. Of course, we all talked about the story, you know, some time ago and throughout the years in regard to how Joseph points to the Messiah. But that's what we've been talking about while at this retreat. So getting to this point right here, it's like putting this exclamation on it when it says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. That vesture that he's clothed with is the vesture that we see or learn about in the story of Joseph. And then this last part right here, and his name is called the Word of Elohim. See? His name is called the Word of Elohim. It's the Word that did all of these things, you know? And that's just to add to that, just to build upon that, because that's another point when it comes to understanding the word Bina, how it's related to the word Bana, understanding and building. And how is it that we come to that understanding? We build it brick by brick, stone by stone, okay? So as we're building, right, think about this. There's a festival that we keep called Yom HaKippurim, right? There is a very specific sacrifice that has to be offered that once a year as it was offered back in the day. Okay, this is the only time that the Kohen HaGadol, the high priest, enters into the Holy of Holies, right? Where the Ark of the Covenant is, correct? Okay, so now, during this particular feast, the choice that has to be made, lots have to be drawn, or cast, I should say, lots have to be cast. One of those lots that's cast is cast for Yahweh. Yahweh is just so happened to be the goat that's offered on Yom HaKippurim as the sacrifice, as the sin offering, where the other one, Azazel, is said to be the scapegoat. All these little nuances that the Most High put in his word to indicate that it would be Yahweh Elohim that sacrifices himself, the word of Yah that sacrifices himself, who became flesh as Yahushua HaMashiach, to sacrifice himself for the sins of humanity. Okay, family? So hopefully everybody sees that. And one of the reasons why we started here, you know, in an effort to bring clarity to the identity of the Word of Yah, you know, it's important that we get that concept, because from here on out, once we start getting a little more into what Abba has laid down for us, we just want to be sealed in our spirit in regard to what the truth of this word is, okay? Messiah, Yahushua, is called Adonai, Yahweh Elohim in the Old Testament, the creator of all things, under the rulership of our Heavenly Father, Yah. And again, this is important to us because everything that Christianity teaches about the Messiah, it teaches in the context of moving people away from being obedient to his word and living a life of disobedience. But it is camouflaged by all of the sweet things, love, peace, joy, grace, mercy, etc. And remember one of the passages that we looked at with these men, they snuck in, they crept in unawares, and what they did, how they turned the grace. Listen to that. They turned the grace of our mighty one into lasciviousness. In other words, and this is what Christianity does. When you think about everything that's going on in the world today, why should people be obedient to the laws of the land when you have the authoritative religion of the Bible teaching you don't even have to obey the Creator? You're not under the law anymore, okay? These are very important truths that we have to understand when we're talking to people who claim to be Christians. Christianity ain't all it's cracked up to be, family. This is our closing passage. Going back to Isaiah chapter 43, we're just going to finish up. Starting in verse 12. I have declared and have saved and have showed when there was no strange mighty one among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, that I am Elohim. Before the day was, I am he. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith Yahweh, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am Yahweh, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Hallelujah. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the words that are spoken to you are the word of Yah. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.
Oh, Shabbat.
Oh, Shabbat.